was much more spacious than his own. It even had a window that looked out onto the park and the shimmering lake beyond. Without another word, he turned and walked out, thinking, I'll have to get rid of them both somehow. By the time he got back to his own office, Vyborg had brightened considerably. Berkowitz wants to allow Don Diego to teach heretical ideas, he realized. That makes Berkowitz just as guilty as the old man himself. Perhaps I can get them both in one swoop. But as he sat at his desk again, his mood darkened once more. That means I'll have to wait until we're established at Saturn. Much too long. I can't wait all those months. More than a year, actually. I want to get rid of them now.
Departure plus 318 days. When Holly got to her office the next morning, there was a message on her screen. See me immediately, Morgenthau. It still bothered Holly to see Ruth Morgenthau sitting at Eberly's desk. Even though nearly 2 months had passed since Eberly had left the office, Holly always expected to see Malcolm there. Instead, when she opened the director's office door, Morgenthau was behind the desk, her fleshy face dark and ominous. Even before Holly could sit down, Morgenthau demanded, "Where were you yesterday afternoon?" Holly stiffened. "I took the afternoon off. I caught up on my work from my quarters after dinner." Morgenthau asked, "Were you ill?" Holly thought that a simple lie could end this conversation. Instead, she replied, "No. I just needed some time away from the office, that's all." "Do you think you're working too hard?" "I enjoy my work." Morgenthau drummed her chubby fingers on the desktop. Despite the dress code they had agreed to, the woman's fingers were heavy with jeweled rings, and her tunic ablaze with colors. Holly noticed that the desk was littered with papers. Malcolm always kept it immaculately clear. "Sit down, please, Holly," Morgenthau said. Holly took one of the chairs in front of the desk, feeling resentment simmering inside her. "I'm entitled to take an afternoon off if I want to," she said to herself. "I'm running this warping office. I'm doing all the work. I can go off and have a little fun if I want to." But she said nothing and meekly sat down. Morgenthau stared at her for a long moment, then said, "You know, and I know, that you are really running this office. I'm just a figurehead covering for Malcolm while you do all the real work." Holly almost blurted out her agreement, but she managed to keep silent. "I don't mind that arrangement," Morgenthau continued. "In fact, I find it quite satisfactory." Holly nodded warily, expecting worse to come. "But," Morgenthau resumed, "you don't have to rub my face in it. You must show at least some outward respect for my position." "I do." "Yesterday you did not. It is not proper for you to take the afternoon off without informing me. Actually, you should ask my permission, but I don't want to be a stickler. Still, how does it look when someone like Professor Wilmot asks me a question and I tell him that my assistant will look up the information and my assistant isn't at her desk, isn't even in the office, and I don't know where she is?" "You could have called me. I always carry my comm. You should keep me informed of your whereabouts at all times. I shouldn't have to search for you." Holly's temper was rising. "You don't like me very much, do you?" For an instant, Morgenthau looked surprised, almost startled. Then she admitted, "You are not a believer. And worse, you are a reborn. I find that," she struggled for a word, "distasteful. Almost sinful." "It wasn't my decision. My sister did it when I was too sick to know what was happening to me." "Still, you tried to avoid God's judgment on you. You tried to cheat death. Wouldn't you?" "No. When God calls me, I'll be happy to go." "The sooner the better," Holly snarled silently. "But my religious beliefs are not the subject of this conversation. I want you to keep me informed of your whereabouts at all times." Holding back her anger, Holly replied, "I understand." Breaking into a smile that looked forced to Holly, Morgenthau added, "During office hours, of course. What you do when the office is closed is on your own conscience, of course." "Of course. Unless it involves Dr. Eberly." "So that's it," Holly realized. "She's clanked up because she can see that I'm interested in Malcolm. Maybe she knows more than I do. Maybe she can see that Malcolm's interested in me. Dr. Eberly is much too busy for personal involvements of any kind, Holly. You should stop trying to distract him." "She's trying to protect him. She's standing between Malcolm and me." Holly got to her feet. "I should have told you I was taking the afternoon off," she said coldly. "It won't happen again." "Good." Morgenthau smacked her hands together loudly enough to startle Holly. "Now that that's out of the way, I'll be out of the office all day. You'll be in charge." Surprised at her sudden change in tone, Holly asked, "Where will you be?" Morgenthau laughed lightly and waggled a finger in the air. "No, no. It's not necessary for me to tell you where I'm going. I'm the department chief, remember? I can come and go as I wish." "Oh, right, for sure." "For your information, however," Morgenthau said as she pushed herself up out of the desk chair, "I will be with Malcolm all day. We are going over several drafts of possible constitutions."
Eberly sipped herbal tea while Viborg and Janssen argued with quiet passion. Kananga was obviously bored with the argument, while Morgenthau watched it in silence as she nibbled on pastries. Kananga's a man of action, Eberly thought. He doesn't think very deeply, which is good. He makes a useful tool. Morgenthau, though, she's different. She just sits there watching everything, silent as a sphinx. What's going on inside her head? How much of this is she reporting back to Amsterdam? Everything, I suppose. "If you allowed the people all these personal freedoms," Viborg was saying, almost hissing, actually, "the result will be chaos, anarchy. Most of the inhabitants have come to this habitat to escape repressive regimes. If their individual liberties are not guaranteed, they'll reject the Constitution altogether." Janssen leaned back on the sofa, smiling as if he had won the argument. "Individual liberties," Viborg spat. "That's the kind of license that nearly caused the collapse of civilization. If it weren't for the new morality..." "And the holy disciples," Morgenthau interjected. Then, glancing at Kananga, she added, "And the sword of Islam." Janssen frowned at her and Viborg both. "No matter what you think, these people will not accept a constitution that doesn't guarantee their historical freedoms. They're here because they got fed up with the restrictions back on Earth." Viborg thought otherwise. He continued to argue. Sitting at the end of the coffee table, Eberly thought that Viborg, in the room's best armchair with his skinny legs tucked under him, looked rather like a coiled snake. Lean, small, dark, his eyes glittering menacingly. Janssen was just the opposite, cool, pale, but as immovable as a glacier. And he kept that damn palm comp in his hand, fiddling with it like some voodoo charm. Kananga butted in. "In a closed ecology like this, we can't tolerate fools and troublemakers. Pop them out an airlock without a suit." Morgenthau laughed. "My dear Colonel, how can we resort to airlock justice if each citizen is guaranteed due process of the law for any offense they might commit?" "Exactly my point," Viborg exclaimed, staring straight at Janssen. "We have no room here for the legal niceties." Pursing her lips for a moment, Morgenthau said, "There is another possibility." "What?" "I've heard that some scientists on Earth are experimenting with electronic probes they put inside people's skulls. They attach the probes to the brain, bioelectronics," Janssen said. "Yes," agreed Morgenthau. "With these probes attached to various brain centers, they can control a person's behavior, prevent violent criminal behavior, for example." Viborg scowled. "What of it?" "Perhaps we can use such probes to control behavior here," said Morgenthau. "Insert neural probes to control people's behavior?" Janssen shuddered.
It could work, said Morgenthau. They would have to agree to the operation.